This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
We welcome you in. It's another edition of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Back with the longtime NFL executive, Michael Lombardi. I'm Ben Wilson in for Patrick Maher today. Michael, fresh article from you up right now, VSiN.com. Talking a lot about what we saw Monday night with the Arizona Cardinals and what a train wreck that has continued to be. You and I sat in these seats in, I believe, late July and compared everything going on with the front office, with Steve Keim, the GM, the head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, and the quarterback, Kyler Murray, to all the characters in Entourage. Did you think it would actually turn out to be this bad, though, this comical on the field, Michael? 4-9, and now Murray, as we found out at the very end of our show yesterday, out for the year with a torn ACL.
You know, I mean, when you break down the games and you really go through their season last year, especially the end, you know, when you look at where they were, they start 6-0, kind of surprisingly how they did, and then they fell apart. You know, he got, again, Murray got hurt last year, missed two games, comes back for the Chicago game. Chicago's not very good. They win that game. Then they go on that three-game losing streak. They find a way to beat Dallas, and Dallas kind of surprisingly, and then they close out the season, you know, with two bad losses and a bad playoff loss. I think this is a classic example of Steve Keim and as the general manager really not understanding how to evaluate his own team and buying into this perception that Murray was an elite player and paid him like one. I mean, I feel badly that the young man's hurt. I feel badly that he's it'll be a year before he's really ready. And as I wrote about, concerning if he's not back to the level that he played before, because he has to rely on speed, quickness, and acceleration, because he's not a pocket passer. We know this. So there's a lot to unpack for the Arizona Cardinals, and none of it's good news.
It's the point in the Entourage comparison, Michael, there where Vince just filmed Medellin, and it bombed, and now his career is...
it's the truth. It really is. I mean, they all fell in love with, everybody got contract extensions. As I've said before, everybody's happy except the owner, Michael Bidwell. He can't be happy, you know, and I think to me, I think it's a, you know, this is going to take some really undoing. And, you know, Keim hasn't proven to be this elite general manager that the media makes him out to be. I mean, has anybody paid attention to A.J. Green this year? I know that when he comes on the screen, everybody talks about him being this great player, but, I mean, has anybody watched him? I mean, like, he can't get open against anyone. I mean, they have no accelerate. They make a trade for Hollywood Brown, you know, and like he was going to be the second coming, another little receiver. The offensive line has been a problem since Keim's been there. When have they? Let me ask you a question, Ben. When have they had a good offensive line?
Week two. I mean, the injury started early with Arizona, and it's continued.
I mean, but even when they have all their guys, they're not very good up front.
Right.
Even when they have all their guys, they're not good up front. I mean, it's kind of comical. And Hopkins, who has missed six games, he's the leading receiver on the team. Marquise Brown missed a bunch of games. He's the second leading receiver on the team, you know. And as I've mentioned before, A.J. Green, what's he got, like eight? He's averaging under 7 yards a catch. Under 7 yards. I mean, running backs can do that. And then when you break down their wins this year, think about it. They beat Raiders in an improbable game, right? That was kind of one of those. They convert two-point plays, really, you know, and Hunter Renfro fumbles twice to give them the game, win that game. They play Carolina, and then, you know, Carolina's got a lead on them, and Carolina can't make a play at quarterback. And then they beat the Saints, and they beat the Rams. I mean, two teams that were really not playing very well at that point. Remember, Andy Dalton throws all those interceptions at the end of the half is the reason they won that game.
I only said week two just because that was the first win that came to mind, and that was very much, as you say, like covering up. Kyler Murray covered up so many warts on the team with ridiculous ad-lib type plays and win the game in overtime. Right now, opening day starters on that offensive line now on IR. We saw Monday night how exposed it was against New England. Just wonder for the rest of the year, it's a weird situation now because it's sort of a dead team walking, right? You have your quarterback out. 4-9, win total set at 6.5, which on the surface, that seems very high. Like, really, you're expecting that team to get to 7 wins? Now, it is Denver, Atlanta, and Tampa Bay, 3 of the last 4 games. San Francisco on the road to close the season. Who knows how much the Niners are playing for, but what do you do with a team like Arizona that looks totally lifeless now?
I mean, you just got to keep playing, right? I mean, you got to keep playing, and you got to sign out who's going to be on board for next season. I mean, it's really not about this year. It's about where are we going. And I'm sure the head coach is going to compete to the end because he doesn't know what his future is like, although he got a contract extension. You know, I mean, they go into Denver this week. I mean, we got a hell of a matchup. Brett Rippon versus Colt McCoy. I mean, who wouldn't love that matchup, right? And you know, Denver's offense, I mean, I don't know. Like, my instincts tell me to take Denver in the game because can Arizona move the ball against this Denver defense? But I don't know. You want to play Brett Rippon in that game? I mean, I don't think so. Do you want to play that Denver offense? I know they scored a bunch of points last week for the first time, but it wasn't – a lot of it had to do with Mahomes' interceptions and turnovers. But, you know, it's a hard one. I mean, I think you just got to keep playing and see who's going to be good players and find it. I mean, this team is not good. I mean, defensively, they're not good. They haven't been good all year, really, when you break it down. They're 31st in red zone defense, 27th in third down defense. I mean, but they got a bunch of these older players. I mean, who loves to sign veterans more than this team?
That's a fair point. Betting market likes Denver for whatever that's worth this week, up to 2.5 or touching three in some spots.
I was going through it today, Ben. We have four games that are basically pick 'em games on the slate this week for the betting public. I mean, the four games that you can money line and feel pretty good at getting the value, right? You got the Jets, Detroit. You got New England, Las Vegas. You got Denver, Arizona, and to a degree, Pittsburgh, Carolina.
Mm-hmm. All four games that have differing implications, Arizona and Denver is one of the games that really has nothing. It's just the question of, for a coach like Cliff Kingsbury, who you would think, Michael, had he not been given the extension, would probably have been fired already. You just wonder how much is he going to get out of his team. And I wonder now going forward, if you're Arizona, the question's for you as the executive. What are you doing at quarterback for the first 70% of next year? What are you doing at coach? If your owner, Josh Biddle, do you say, or Michael Biddle, do you say, I'm cutting bait and just going to pay him the buyout for Cliff Kingsbury? Like, what are you doing there?
I don't think you can just – I don't think you can get rid of Cliff Kingsbury without getting rid of Keim. I mean, Keim's fingerprints are all over this team, that how bad they are. So, you know, I ran my numbers this morning and yesterday, and as I get ready for this game, you know, so of the 19 categories that I value in terms of the betting week and going into this, to the games, you know, the Arizona Cardinals are bad in – are in the bottom category in 11 of those 19. They only have one strength. They have – they're in basically three areas. They're in the top 12, and then they're in the bottom third in 11. But not to be denied. Not to be denied, Ben.
Not to be denied.
The Denver Broncos are good in three – are good in five areas in the top 12, and they also are in the bottom 11. I mean, when you look at my board, it looks like a red blur when you see my board when I – because I coded in red, greens, and yellows so I could actually have kind of a look of it. I mean, this is really a game where – and my power ranking for this game, both teams are at the same number, which is so rare, so rare. But this is bad on bad. I mean, you almost have to pick this game to see if you have any ability to pick who's really bad.
36.5 is now our total as well. I was just looking at our updated betting boards here, Michael, with a big move to the under. Not a surprise, given that Russell Wilson, quarterback on the Denver side, not likely to clear concussion.
Even if he was playing, we would be playing the under. I mean, even if he was playing, we'd be all over the under.
Exactly right. And Denver now starting to creep up to 3 at a lot of books. This is just from a non-betting related talking point here, Michael, because both Denver and Arizona would be on my list of teams who would have new coaches next year. Of course, the big question is, does Arizona's owner decide he really wants to pay all that money to Kingsbury to fire him? I would set the number at like 6.5 teams with new head coaches next year. We know Carolina already in Indianapolis will have new head coaches compared to who started the year. Would you go over or under on that? I would lean over, but it's an interesting thing to think about.
I'm thinking under from what I'm hearing, unless there's a bunch of surprises. I don't see it. I mean, I don't know where you get to 6. I really don't. I mean, you know, Carolina and Indy, I think Carolina and Indianapolis, I would think Carolina, Steve Wilks has done a really good job. I think Steve Wilks has come in and been a better head coach for the Carolina Panthers than he was in the one season at Arizona. Maybe that tells us something about how bad Arizona is, right? But, I mean, I don't know. Is Houston going to open up again? I mean, there's a team that you have to think about. Well, Houston open? So that gives you 3. And then where else are we going? Cleveland's not going to open.
Well, I'll tell you my list. Broncos, Colts, Texans, Raiders I have in the AFC. And again, that goes back
Raiders
to
Raiders isn't going to open. Raiders isn't going to open. I mean, he just got the guy. I mean, this is a fallacy. I mean, the guy just got a huge contract. He took over a team that's not very good. I mean, look at that. I mean, the fact that the Raiders have been in so many games is almost a miracle. To fire him for what they've done? I mean, what you're saying is the Raiders are a talented team. Tell me where their talent is.
I would say you have the best one of the best wide receivers in the game. Pretty good quarterback in Derek Carr. Pretty solid
defensive line. Did you watch him on Thursday night? When he's got Devontae Adams wide open and he doesn't throw it. We could sit down and watch tape on him. I mean, look, I'm not defending my son or the Raiders. I'm just saying watch it objectively. Watch it. Like, when does he make a play that you say, wow? I mean, the throw to Devontae Adams is a disaster. He doesn't throw it to him. You know, how about the Abdullah throw? He's got him wide open for a touchdown in Jacksonville. He lays it up in the air like it's a pop fly. I don't know how anybody could sit there and say the Raiders are underachieving based on their talent level. Look at that secondary. My God, how many draft picks are not on the team?
Carr's numbers also. I'm just looking up my updated. The advanced numbers, not good. Eye test numbers, not good either. We have the resume there for Josh McDaniels. I would also say every team outside of Atlanta in the NFC South will have a new coach next year. Like, how can you say Dennis Allen and Todd Bowles should be back for those teams?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, I don't disagree. There's a lot of bad coaching jobs going on, and certainly I'm not saying the Raiders haven't had their own faults in coaching. But I think when you make that change, then you have to answer the question: who are you going to replace them with, and who's going to be out there? Who's better?
That's a very good point to make.
I could see the Chargers saying, hey, let's go get Sean Payton.
Right.
That one I get.
We'll get into more of that and some interesting award talk when we return.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM is all of your favorite wagering options, including in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. And physically located in Nevada, please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Michael, the other part of Monday Night Football, at least to the good, to a degree, New England Patriots, who were able to get the job done coming from down 13-7. Now, they get the job done. Mike Pritchard and I yesterday went through some of the ugly elements of that, though. New England was at 4.3 yards per play through the first 27 offensive snaps before Arizona essentially imploded on their own. What do you think now of a team in New England that is, as we sit today, the 7th seed, as it would stand in the AFC playoff picture at 7-6?
You know, I mean, that was a game they had to win, and it didn't look like they were going to get it done. And I think they finally, when they were able to get pressure with their front four and play some zone behind it and cause Colt McCoy to make a mistake, he did. And, of course, the Hopkins fumble. You know, I think that's one of the things about the Patriots. They play a kind of game that you have to you've got to execute through the course of the game. They play good in the red zone. They're able to handle that. And then, you know, they wait for you to make a mistake, and they don't lose the game. I mean, they turned it over one time when the quarterback got hit, but, you know, they make the big play on a second and long, and that, you know, and the kid takes off and runs down the sideline, and they end up running the ball into the end zone. So, I mean, it wasn't pretty. You know, it wasn't – I thought they made a couple plays in the passing game, a lot of injuries in the game, but they came out of it with the win, which they should have done. I was happy that happened. I thought New England was a really good play last week. It was one of my picks for Bill AD in the newsletter. So I was happy to see them win. But I think they've got to get a lot better if they're ever going to be a playoff team.
Interestingly enough, books have not reposted their number to make the playoffs, which I find a little suspect. I mean, they're 7-6. They're the 7th seed. Just give us a number, books. Nobody has it right now. Win total is 8.5 with slight juice to the under for the remaining four games, which is at Las Vegas this week, then home Cincinnati and Miami, and at Buffalo. Market is going toward the Patriots this week, Michael, from Pick'em to -1 on the road in Las Vegas. Potential for 40,000 Patriot fans inside Allegiant Stadium. And they did come here for a preseason game, so there, I guess there would be some familiarity there staying on the West Coast as well. Interesting matchup when you think about the coaching dynamics at play with Josh McDaniels, longtime coordinator there under Bill Belichick for New England.
Well, I mean, they both know each other, right? Bill knows what Josh wants to do offensively. Josh knows what Bill wants to do defensively, what Steven Belichick does. And then offensively, the challenge is going to be the Raiders, which are not a great defense, can they stop the run game of New England, which is going to be essential? You know, that's going to be what they have to do. When they lost the last two games against Minnesota and against the Buffalo Bills, they couldn't really run the football effectively. They need to run the ball. Even though in Minnesota they had the best output of the day in terms of they had 17 first downs in the game. You know, they were able to move the ball effectively, 364 yards in the air. But to me, when they play their best is when they can run the football, and the Raiders have got to play run defense like they've had in the past few weeks. And then, look, they got to protect up front. If they protect, Carr can make some throws against them. They're going to have to win against man coverage. He's going to try to take Davante Adams out of the game. I mean, they're going to double Devontae no matter where it is. Now, do they get Waller back this week? Do they get Hunter Renfrow back this week? I mean, they've been missing a lot of guys on the Raider. I mean, Mac Hollins, they signed Mac Hollins to be the fourth or fifth receiver. He's the number two guy.
Doesn't work very well when you're down, when you end up having to go to that direction, and it's still right now. I mean, Renfrow, Waller remaining on IR. I will wonder how you analyze the Raider offensive line, where the advanced numbers are really, really good for the Raiders. They indicate a top 12 offensive line. But as we saw Monday night, if you can't block against New England, anything you want to do offensively is pretty much taken away. Arizona was sacked five times with Colt McCoy once he came in at quarterback. That's right. I just wonder, the numbers look really good for the Raiders, but are you going to trust them to hold up against that pass rush of New England?
Well, I think one of the things that I think happened in the game against the Chargers is when they lost Barr, the right guard, and they had to go to Simpson, who they since cut, that thing fell apart for him pretty quickly. And I think what one of the things what people don't always understand is when you have a player like Barrs who gets everybody kind of lined up, right? He makes the right calls. He gets everybody in. When he went out of the game and Simpson comes in, it was a disaster. I don't know if anybody claimed Simpson, but if they did, they didn't watch tape. I mean, it was really bad. You know, that's another draft pick that was supposed to be a starter that didn't play coming out of the Mayock regime. So, you know, and they say, well, you cut him too early. I mean, Leatherwood hasn't even played a snap for the Bears this year, and they need offensive linemen. Think about that. Just think about that for a moment. I mean, so that's how bad. I mean, the historically bad, and I wrote about it in Gridiron Genius behind me, so I'm not second guessing, I'm first guessing. When you put Gruden in charge of player personnel, it was only going to get bad, and it's gotten really bad. So, you know, to me, this is what they're dealing with, and I think the offensive line is overachieved, frankly. I don't think it's a very talented group. I mean, they're playing rookies. This week, they'll probably play Mumford in at right tackle and move Illuminor into guard to kind of give them some stability in there. They haven't been able to really to do that as much as they've wanted to because, you know, they've had some injuries. So, they've had to work around that as much as possible. But this will be a challenge because of the physicality of New England. You know, and the one thing about Josh McDaniels is he doesn't mind four-yard gains, right? He can convert third and four, third and three. New England's going to make you have to do that. That's where New England's going to – they try to wear you down the field. They're not going to give you a big play.
Right. I just checked to see if Simpson was picked up. He is still a free agent. So if anybody wants him, he's out there.
I mean, think about that. I mean – think about it. You know, you draft this guy and everybody, oh, you got a starting guard. And everybody's looking for guards now. I mean, everybody's looking for linemen. And he doesn't even get, I mean, just watch the tape. And when he went in that game against the Rams, it was so bad. And I think it affected Carr. I really do. I think Carr got nervous in the pocket because he didn't feel comfortable. And I think that's why a lot of time with Carr, he's got to feel comfortable in that pocket. And when he does, he's very good. When he's not very good.
For the Raider offensive line this week, both Barrs and Illuminor listed as questionable to start the week on the right guard and right tackle spot. So pay attention to the practice injury reports as the week goes on there. Right now, Patriots getting some money up to -1 in Las Vegas against the Raiders. Patriots, that 7 seed, by virtue of having the tiebreaker over both the Chargers and Jets, another pair of 7-6 teams. It feels though, Michael, as we get ready to go to MetLife Stadium this week, for the Jets, it's sort of a loser is officially done type game with the Detroit Lions surging, having won 5 of 6, now going into MetLife. Report just came out about 10 minutes ago from Robert Saleh's press conference that Zach Wilson will be the number 2 quarterback Sunday, assuming Mike White is ready to go, with Joe Flacco the number 3. Now, what do you think about the Lions-Jets matchup here with another pseudo-pick'em line at MetLife?
You know, I have been very, you know, down on Detroit for most of the early part of the year. A lot of the decision-making that Dan Campbell made. I mean, and when you listen to him, even on the Penei Sewell completed pass, I mean, he had no idea what was going on. Did you listen to that commentary? Oh, my. I mean, if I was the owner or the general manager of the team, I would have been scared to death that he didn't know that. I would have been just literally scared to death. I'd have been like, wait a minute, we're a billion-dollar corporation and you didn't know this? I mean, like, seriously. We can't just – this isn't a high school game. We're just trying to take a chance. Anyway, that's a whole other subject.
I honestly thought that was a joke when it came out. His quote was, what the F are we doing? And it's like, wait, you're the head coach? You didn't know?
You're the head coach. I mean, it just tells you that this isn't sustainable. But let me say this. I was shocked at the numbers of Detroit. And you love it. You look at the numbers as I do. You know, like I would have never guessed that Detroit was sixth in terms of getting off the field on third down. I mean, they're really improved. They have improved in a lot of the categories that I value when I look at it, you know, and it's kind of somewhat remarkable. They were so bad there in so many statistics that, you know, you said there's no way they're going to be able to do this. And yet they've kind of improved. They haven't improved. And they've improved where they're in the top 10 in eight. They're in the top in 10 categories. They are in the top 12. Think about that. They're in the top 12 in 10 categories. Eight, they're in the top seven. So that's really kind of remarkable, you know. And so, and when you look at it, and they're sixth in how many third downs teams get against them? They only average 4.5, you know. So conversions, you know, everybody looks at third down conversion percentage. It's how many opponents convert per game is really what matters more to me than anything, you know. And they're sixth in that category. I would have never guessed it. And they've got more strengths than you think. Meanwhile, they're playing a Jet team that everybody likes, and I do too, and I think the Jets have improved. But the Jets' power ranking number, according to me, is lower than Detroit. And I can see why people are betting Detroit.
Yeah,
we know it's going to be bad weather.
Right.
And there is a sense of hesitation with me and Goff, but he's won twice in bad weather. He's won twice in cold weather this year.
The two games, at the average line for Goff, 18 of 26, 201 yards. He's had a touchdown. No picks, though, in two outdoor games so far in the month of November. The East Coast books right now still holding out at Jets minus one. All the Nevada jurisdiction books, though, are at a pick 'em. As you look at the numbers, too, it surprised me as well to see over the last 6 weeks, Lions 16th in overall defensive efficiency when they were dead last by a wide margin to start
really
the year.
Make an improvement.
You have to give
And I think
Dan
as betters, Ben, we got to take that. That's really more important than the whole landscape of it. The last five games, the last 10 games is what we have to focus on.
It's a really good pro tip for this hour. Focus not only on just full season numbers, but really on what teams are doing right now, the last month to 6 weeks. When we can turn, we'll return. We'll get into perception versus reality. A few teams will look at.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
College bowl season is about to kick off, and VSiN has you covered with this year's College Football Bowl Guide. This year's guide is picks on the spread and total of every bowl game from our VSiN experts and Brent Musburger, plus Steve Mackinnon with power rankings for every team and breakdowns of the motivational factors that affect bowl games. Josh Applebaum has insight into bowl betting strategy, and Adam Burke can help give you an advantage if you're part of bowl confidence pools. Give yourself an edge. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to check out the College Football Bowl Betting Guide. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Just to put a bow on the Lions-Jets discussion for this week, Michael, just having a chance now that that news comes out at Robert Saleh's press conference, just reading some of the quotes with Zach Wilson now going to be the backup this week. He said, A, it was not a coincidence. It was just a coincidence. It was a coincidence that they promoted Wilson to number two after the bad performance from Joe Flacco coming in off the bench last week. Said he feels like he's shown enough improvement on the practice field to earn the backup job, while also saying the Jets are intending to help. While they want to see Wilson return to the field at some point, quote, this is Mike White's opportunity. Are you? What are you seeing, at least reading the tea leaves there in New York, with Zach Wilson now apparently back in the mix to a degree, but obviously not the starter?
Well, I think this is a short and long-term problem, right? So, you know, the situation is simply this. Mike White's a free agent at the end of the year. And so it's really not Mike White's team. It's Mike White's kind of place. And Mike White's going out there, and what he showed to me on Sunday in Buffalo was he made some really tough throws. And if Michael Carter doesn't drop the fumble the ball, they might win that game. They're right there in the game. I mean, they have every chance too. And he was making some really good throws. That one drive to start the second half where they ran it down the field was impressive. He made some key third down passes. So for me, I think Mike White's proven to people he may actually be good enough. I mean, this game's going to be a real test for him. Not that Detroit's great defensively, but I think it'll be a great test. But what are they going to do with Zach Wilson? I mean, they can't say this is Mike White's team. Here we're going to pay you. What are they going to do with Zach Wilson? They're kind of trapped. They had to get Flacco out of the way. They got to try to rebuild Zach Wilson somehow, some way. I think it was the only move they could make.
Right. It feels like you're kind of walking that tightrope, as you allude to. Like, you obviously don't want to throw him in important playoff games, but you're trying to massage his confidence to a degree. Either way, we'll see how it plays out this week. Lions getting some betting support in the market. We're down to pick them pretty much market-wide after the Jets, and a lot of books were opened at around -1. We talk about Detroit, Michael, and the team they just beat, the Minnesota Vikings. It leads us into our segment, Perception versus Reality. Minnesota has to be the poster child, right, for Perception versus Reality because the numbers look great. If you talk to any respected bettor in the market, though, they say, look, they're a very mediocre to slightly below-average team with the numbers. What is the actual reality now, Michael, that we've had 13 weeks of data to look at this Vikings team?
Well, I mean, they can't play defense. I mean, in the last 4 weeks, they've created 2 turnovers. They can't pressure the quarterback. I mean, they have been able – I mean, the strength of the team isn't the secondary. They're signing guys off the practice squad to play corner now. So we know that's a real issue. But they have to play zone, and when Danielle Hunter doesn't get pressure on the quarterback or Smith, I mean, they're just not in good position. I mean, you know, the Lions threw for 394 on them. The Patriots threw for 301. I mean, it was only the Jets that didn't really throw the ball against them because, you know, I don't know why the Jets didn't – excuse me, the Jets threw for 366 on them. I'm sorry. And they haven't stopped anybody in the passing game. I mean, this is really, you have to go back to the Commodores in week 9, where the Commodores had 126 yards passing. That was it. So the problem is they have to outscore everybody all the time. And if they lose a possession or they turn it over like they did with Dalvin Cook or they turn it over twice like they did against the Lions, they're going to lose the game. I mean, I don't see how they stop anybody. And their numbers are still good. I mean, when you break them down. But they were better earlier in the year. They were better in the red zone, and they were better on third down. Those two numbers are not, and I think a lot of the injuries are catching up to them. Look, on the surface, this should be a game that if they can play the run and get some pressure on Matt Ryan, they'll throw the ball on anybody. But can they do that? I mean, it's 2 key home games for Minnesota, really. I think these are 2 key home games, right. And they've got to kind of get their mojo back. And Cousins has played as well as he's played. But they can't turn the ball over. They can't turn it over in the red zone either. Their margin for error is too great. They've been very fortunate. The luck meter has run in their favor pretty much most of the year.
Yeah, no question. And it's another week where the betting market has gone against Minnesota. A lot of the offshore openers were 5 or 5.5. We're down to 4 pretty much market-wide. Indianapolis goes to Minnesota. That is a Saturday early game of the Saturday triple header that we have here for week 15. And you wonder, too, from the defensive standpoint, you're 32nd in yards per, or 31st now in yards per play allowed. You're bottom 5 in the league in average yards per drive now. You might get away with it against a Matt Ryan-led cold offense, apparently still going to be the starting quarterback this week, Michael, coming off of the bye for Indy. But it's like once we get to the playoffs, a team that will be in the thick of it, how can you have any confidence backing them once we get to that point?
I don't have any confidence backing them, especially against good quarterbacks, not even great quarterbacks. I mean, Mac Jones has struggled. That offense has struggled all year, and it took a miracle for them to win that game. I mean, I've said this on my podcast. Every team that left Minnesota has done playing Minnesota. They all think, how did we lose to that game? And how did we lose to that team? You know, and they've just, I mean, the last 4 weeks, 486, 458, 409, 486, 464. I mean, that's the total yards they're giving up. I mean, the Patriots was the only game they stopped the run in. I mean, they can't stop anything. And so it's a problem. And like this week, for me, it's a hard – I think my Minnesota numbers and my power rankings are off. I have this as a 9.2 game. I think that Minnesota should be favored by that based on where Indianapolis. So I know I'm completely off on this one. But Indianapolis, when you do the power rankings of Indianapolis and then you do the game codes – I mean, Indy is strong in the top 12 in one category, and they're in the bottom third in 11. Meanwhile, Minnesota, in the outcomes that go to the game, they're a good team. You know, they're a good team. They've got a lot of strengths with their team. So they've got they're in the top 11 in 11 categories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they've got deficiencies. I mean, they do. They're in the bottom. They don't have any problems with scoring. So they're a little bit of a, like the TCU team. They're going to give you yards, but can they stop anybody? I don't know. But they're playing home, and it's a hard place to play.
Right. It's why you think about, for certain types of situations, like a game at home against Indianapolis, even if the market is wanting to bet against a team that has seemingly outperformed pretty the mediocre metrics in a lot of senses, it's like, does it overreact a little bit against a Colt team that has been a complete mess basically all season? We'll see where the market goes the rest of the week. Again, that is the first of three games on Saturday. That is one of the two teams we want to get to here in perception versus reality. The other one, Michael, will go to the AFC team firmly in the playoff picture, the Baltimore Ravens. I told you last week I like Baltimore, and yet I got very fortunate with Kenny Pickett going out injured for the Steelers on the first drive of the game. Ravens win narrowly 16-14 as a short dog against the Steelers. Tyler Huntley, quarterback, was limited in practice yesterday with the concussion he had to leave the game with on Sunday. A 9-4 team that has continued to not really look over impressive even in the wins. Where do you stand on the reality of the Baltimore Ravens?
I mean, I hate their – I mean, they have no passing game. At some point, John Harbaugh's got to see what I see. I mean, their passing game is horrendous. They're just so bad. And, you know, they can run the ball, and they got fortunate. And they played a game last week against a team that, you know, Trubisky turns it over three times in the red zone. They got a break, you know. And this week, the matchup favors them again because Cleveland wants to run the football, and that's where Baltimore plays really well. Their run defense is really good. So they can limit that, and maybe they can put some pressure on Watson and create some turnovers. But when you break this team down, I mean, they have a lot of strengths, but passing the football isn't one of them, right? They're 28th in attempts. They're 27th in yards, right? They're 20th in yards per attempt. I mean, they have no passing game. I was talking to somebody in the league yesterday, and we were just talking about how bad their passing game is. Like, what are they trying to accomplish? And this has been going on for 4 years now.
Right.
I don't get it. I don't get it. To me, you know, they talk about Roman being a great offensive mind and he can run the ball. I mean, when can they throw the football? And even if they get Lamar back, they haven't been able to throw the ball when they have Lamar. I mean, they're 24th in red zone offense. You know, they're not good at all in that category.
What's funny is for this week, though, and you're completely right on the long-term concerns for Baltimore, especially as we get toward the playoffs, against a Cleveland team that is last in the league in defending the run. Cleveland could put 9 in the box this week against an offense that can't pass, and I'm still not sure they could limit Baltimore to less than 5 yards a carry, Michael. That's just how bad the Browns' run defense has been. Has to intrigue you, Baltimore catching points again this week, 2.5 or 3 in Cleveland with the bad run defense for the Browns and Deshaun Watson at quarterback. 700 days off, that's been apparent.
I watched enough of Anthony Brown at Oregon. There's no way you're getting me to play that. There's no chance you're getting me to play that. I watched enough of him at Oregon. There's no way. You're going to do that, you got guts.
No, okay. It is very much quarterback dependent. At least Tyler Huntley has been in the system and knows.
I mean, Huntley wasn't very good last week. I was with you on Baltimore. Huntley wasn't very good last week, but we got through it. There's no chance I'm going down the Anthony Brown lane.
That is the predetermined notion, like, okay, if it's Brown, we set aside everything we just said. But if it is Huntley and was limited yesterday at practice, we'll see what that practice report gives us today. If he is able to get out of concussion protocol, that could be a play on there for Baltimore, at least catching points against a bad Cleveland team. We'll talk some awards up next involving the Philadelphia Eagles. A lot of movement in their direction.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
It's that time of year again, and there's no better way for sports fans to celebrate the season than with BetMGM's 12 days of giveaways. Opening your presents is easy. Just sign into your BetMGM account and unwrap a new giveaway every day between December 14th today and December 25th. You'll find everything a better needs to enjoy the holidays, including deposit matches, free bets, and parlay boost tokens for all your favorite sports. Log into your BetMGM account or sign up today for 12 days of giveaways from the King of Sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Ben Wilson back in for Patrick Maher. Patrick back on the show tomorrow with Michael Lombardi. As we go to Philadelphia talking some awards, you were just at a Sixers game last night, Michael. They must have known you were in the building because the underachieving Sixers finally got it done last night over the Kings.
Oh, my God, Ben. I mean, I got to say, I don't know what the Sacramento Kings were doing, but they shot 22% from three-point line. They attempted 42 of them. It was really bad. It was like the shot selection was horrendous, and the Sixers just couldn't miss. They played well. And obviously the game was over. They scored 80 points in the first half. Right. Like, I mean, it was comical about, I thought that there was the Sacramento made a little run. I kind of thought it was going to happen. And then the fourth quarter, the Sixers kind of made another run and put the game away. But, they got the Warriors coming to town. That'll be a little bit harder for them. There's no doubt. But the Kings played off of the Kings after the game, then went to had a fly to Toronto, and it looked like they wanted to get to the plane quicker than possible.
They did not want to spend any more time in the city of brotherly love. I saw this updated note from Jonathan Von Tobel, our NBA analyst here at VSiN. Sixers would have to go 36-20 the rest of the year to get over that win total that you were a big fan of the under on preseason. So
they have no chance.
When
you watch them, how about this? They cut Isaiah Joe. They're a team that needs three-point shooters. They need wing players. They cut Isaiah Joe, and he leads the league in three-point shooting percentage.
And they cut
Bassey, and he's down there in San Antonio because they refuse to play young players under the great leadership and stewardship of the doctor, only wants to play older players. It's hilarious.
At least you got to see them in person last night. 76ers, though, among the hierarchy of Philadelphia sports.
It was great. Thomas Gable was a great host. It was wonderful.
I didn't know that. Our guy TG hosting you over from the Borgata there to the Wells Fargo Center. Look, but the Sixers are on they're bottom right now of the hierarchy of Philadelphia sports, at least at this point, from the major teams. Philadelphia Eagles now have, after this Sunday's games, both the coach of the year favorite, Nick Sirianni, is running away with it at minus 400, I'm seeing right now at BetMGM. And now Jalen Hurts, your favorite to win the MVP, Michael, just flipped up to minus 165, overtook Patrick Mahomes this past week. Are you thinking this is the guy at this point for Hurts with 4 weeks to go in the season?
Well, I mean, look, when they hired Sirianni, I wasn't a fan. I thought they should have hired Josh McDaniels because he was a more experienced and been a head coach and fit. But I give the Eagles credit. I think the Eagles, and I've said this all along, that the Eagles organization carries the team, not the head coach. And I think that this season is living proof of that. I mean, they have done a great job in player development, unlike the 76ers. They've done a great job of getting their young players on the field and getting to maximize their ability to take them to a level. And so, it's all come together for them. They've corrected the mistakes within the defensive framework. They've added players to their team. I think this has been an organizational, really success story, and you've got to give them credit for it because they've created alignment that very few teams have. They've been able to create this alignment from players, coaching, and development, which is critical to be successful. And I never believed that Hurts, and I'm still not sure that Hurts can be a drop-back passer. Mm-hmm. But in the framework that they have him operating in and the way they've developed this offense around his skill set, you've got to give him a lot of credit, and he's made a lot of plays. And when they play with the mindset of we're going to throw to get the lead to then run it, and they take a team like the Giants completely out of the game because when they're ahead 24-7 at the half, the Giants have no chance to come back. They're a dangerous, dangerous team. And, when you break them down, we talked about the Arizona Cardinals, the Eagles, as long as Jeffrey Lurie has owned the team, has valued offensive and defensive linemen. That's been his mantra, is the organization. And they're really good in both of those areas. And that's why Hurts has been so good, and that's why Sirianni's had such great success.
Mm-hmm. A team that was opened with a win total of 8.5 this year, Philadelphia, a good chance to go 15-2 or 16-1. If the Eagles beat the Bears this week in Chicago, where Philadelphia's now up to a 9-point favorite at a lot of books, Jalen Hurts would become the first quarterback in NFL history to lead a team to a 13-1 record before his 25th birthday. Dan Marino did that at 12-1 with the Dolphins in 84, but they lost to the Raiders in the 14th game of the season. And Hurts also needs three more touchdowns now to get to the... Actually, he'll be getting now to 35. He's three away from 35, which is Randall Cunningham's franchise record in a single season for total passing and rushing touchdowns. When you compare the expectations from preseason, even though there was a lot of buzz, Michael, on the Eagles, to be in a position to go nearly double your win total and put up numbers like those, it's hard to disagree with the line movement on Hurts, and it's also hard to say there's really a darker horse value worth firing at on that MVP board, isn't there?
No, I mean, look, you know, he's their offense. He's the straw that stirs the drink. I mean, he carries it seven times for 77 yards. He's in the six-back offense. He's running it. You know, and he's made throws down the field. He's been really, surprisingly, he's been a very good deep ball thrower. But a lot of these deep ball throws, he doesn't have to, it's not about processing, it's just about making the throw. And give him credit, he's made a lot of great throws, and their numbers, Ben, their statistical data in terms of, you know, the last five games, points per play, you know, fourth quarter ability to come back from behind, punts per play is, to me, how many times do you punt? You know, the last 10 games they've been really good. You know, and then defensively they've started to rally back and put more pressure. There was a time there where they were struggling to get sacks per play, and now they're fifth in the league in that category. So they really have improved as the year has gone on, and they've stayed healthy, which is not like a lot. I know they lost Dallas Goedert, but they've been able to stay healthy, which is critical. So, yeah. You know, they deserve all the praise and the awards that they should get because they've had a great season. They really have. I know they're playing a Gonzaga-like schedule, but the reality of it is they can't control that.
No, that's exactly right. And I'm willing to say at this point, just locked out. Coach of the Year is over. People are going to say, oh, Dan Campbell, he's now 9-1. He's made this huge surge up the odds board with the 5 wins in 6 games. But Nick Sirianni is going to win the award. He's minus 400. Not that I would ever encourage somebody just to be laying a price like that, but this should be his award to win. It should be over. I mean, shouldn't it? This, given the preseason expectations here and what the Eagles have done.
Well, I think the way they have dominated too, Ben. I mean, they have dominated. I mean, there really hasn't been. I mean, other than, you know, they've had a few close games, but they're the class of the league. I mean, they're the class of the league, and they've met the challenges that have been put ahead of them. I mean, the Colt game was close. They came back in that game. The Cardinal game was surprisingly close, and they closed that game out. But they have been very effective, you know, and there was a while there where they had turnovers from the Houston game. They only had one. But Washington, we saw them turn it over 4 times. The Colt game, they turned it over twice. Last 2 weeks where they've scored 48 and 35 points, they haven't turned it over. I mean, Green Bay, they put 40 on the board. I mean, the last 3 weeks, they've gone 40, 35, and 48. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Not bad.
And you got to give him credit for that. And he's done a great job of keeping their focus and keeping their attention. This will be a hard game for them because it's a second row game. No big deal because they play the Giants. But who's not looking ahead to playing Dallas on New Year's Eve, that's on Christmas Eve, right? I mean, that's the one, you know. And so what Sirianni's got to be able to do is say, we got to match a standard. And then we got to handle Justin Fields in the six-back offense. But they practice against it every day.
They do. South Point, our sister studio across town, has gone to 9.5. Everywhere else now, Philadelphia.
I was surprised it wasn't at least to 10. I mean, yeah. Look, if the Bills are a 9.5, 10-point favorite against the Jets, how are not the – and I know that it was a home game for the Bills, but – Chicago, you know, I mean, look, defensively, where is Chicago's strengths come from? It comes from their ability to make plays with Fields in the running game. I mean, Fields is a runner, not a passer. I mean, let's be honest here.
It should not profile well for a Chicago team among the bottom of the league in every defensive category as Philadelphia.
I mean, they're,
big,
you know, sack. I mean, they get no pressure on the quarterback. You know, their turnover margin is horrendous. You know, their last 10 games, they've really been down. Last five, I think you got to be careful about Chicago. The last five, they're in the bottom third in the league. And this offensive line for Chicago is one of the worst offensive lines. Sack per play in terms of percentage, they're one of the worst in the league.
And I would say now, look, Hurts should be the MVP. Sirianni should be coach of the year. I found this interesting, though. There have been 6 different 15-win teams since the NFL expanded to at least a 16-game season. How many of those 6 teams do you think had their coach win coach of the year, Michael?
Probably 2.
You're right. Yeah. Only 2. Ron Rivera, 2015. Mike Ditka in 85. I was stunned when I saw that.
Why? I mean, How about this? I'm going to give it. Nolan Ryan never won a Cy Young Award. People that vote don't have a clue what they're talking about.
I knew you would have a better idea of that, Michael, than me. When we return, time to break down the biggest games on the Week 15 card. We'll go to Saturday with a Bills-Dolphins showdown.